Get ready for a thrilling ride in the world of sports, because we are going to go into the number one draft picks and teams that traded that pick away and see what they got, see what the history of that is, and will it repeat in this draft coming up? We'll have more on this coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have some great positive vibes going on here because we're getting closer to one of the highlights of the offseason of the NFL. And that's the NFL draft coming up here the end of April. And boy, everybody gets excited. All 32 teams. The worst team from the year before is excited because they usually have the top pick. But not always. There's been more than a handful of times where teams have traded away that pick. And today we're going to look at some of these picks and see how that worked out for the team that traded them and the team that traded away that pick. So in a world of the NFL draft, the number one pick holds a significant value. But over the years, teams have been made bold moves by trading away this top selection, trying to get more draft capital along the way. From the early days of the NFL draft to the modern day, trading away the number one pick is something that teams either regret or rejoice in doing. And we're going to look at some of those highs and lows from both of them from NFL history and see if is it really worth it. Whether it's the infamous Eli Manning trade or the recent blockbuster deals involving quarterbacks we've seen over the last few years, the history of trading the number one pick is filled with drama and excitement, and it brings everybody to their feet off their chairs on draft day. It's a great thing. You know, so thanks for watching this video, listening to the podcast, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel by hitting the little button down below there. We appreciate joining us. And you'll know right when we have everything going on. We're having a lot of great stuff happening with Pigskin Dispatch this year. We're having some trivia questions going on in the YouTube shorts. We have podcasts and videos like you're listening to now, and our normal talks with guests and authors and experts. And we're also celebrating the Giants' 100th season coming up in 2024. So be sure to catch all the action by subscribing. So let's talk about the most recent trade, and that would have been in 2023. The Chicago Bears were the worst team in the NFL that year. And the Carolina Panthers, well, they had a little bit of hope going, and they needed a young arm. Justin Fields was with Chicago, seemed to be cemented as their starter. And so they really didn't need to get a quarterback, so they thought at that point. So they traded the pick to the Carolina Panthers. And the Bears ended up receiving DJ Moore in a 2023 round pick. The Carolina Panthers in that deal ended up getting Bryce Young, the young quarterback from Alabama who had an outstanding college season. But his first year didn't really look like that number one pick. Many people said maybe C.J. Stroud, who ended up going right after that, the Ohio State quarterback that the Houston Texans picked up, maybe it would have been a better selection. You don't know. It's hard to tell. They both just played their first season. Definitely C.J. Stroud had the upper hand in his rookie season over Bryce Young. But you don't know how that's going to turn out. But, you know, the Bears with D.J. Moore, they're getting number 61 pick they got. And they have for 2024, they have a first-round pick and a 2025 second round pick coming up to look forward to. Before that, 2016 was the Tennessee Titans trading the number one pick away to the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, they coveted a quarterback, and his name was Jared Goff. And Jared Goff, pretty good quarterback, led the Rams to a Super Bowl, couldn't win that Super Bowl, but he ended up being traded, of course, to the Detroit Lions. and the Lions sent Matthew Stafford to the Rams. The Rams won a Super Bowl with that. So in essence, that pick sort of got them a Super Bowl. Secondhand, got them in one Super Bowl. They had a really nice team with Goff, but Stafford sort of got them over the edge there to win that Super Bowl. The Titans, for giving up that pick, ended up getting a number 15 selection, and they traded that away. Somebody took Corey Coleman with that pick, and they got a 2016 second round pick, which the Titans used to get defensive tackle Austin Johnson. The second round pick of number 45, and this was a pretty good selection, Derrick Henry. I think you remember that guy. And a third round pick, number 76, which they traded away, and a 2017 first round pick, which they picked up Corey Davis, a wide receiver, and a 2017 third round pick, which they've got tight end Jonnu Smith. So not bad when you get Derrick Henry and you get that number one pick for his production. Not too bad. The Rams ended up taking Goff, and they got a fourth round pick and some other later round picks for that. In 2001, we had the San Diego Chargers and the Atlanta Falcons wheeling and dealing. The Falcons wanted the coveted quarterback from Virginia Tech, Michael Vick. And Michael Vick was a very good pick and came out like gangbusters and took the league by storm. Of course, we all know his history, got in a little bit of legal problems and faded away from the Falcons flock. But had some resurgent years with the Philadelphia Eagles and tried to catch on with the Steelers a little bit. But listen to who the Chargers got in that pick. They traded away the number one pick and got wide receiver Tim Dwight. Not bad. They also got running back LaDainian Tomlinson. A very good pick. And they also traded and got the third round pick of Tay Cody, the defensive back, and a second round pick in the following year. And they got wide receiver Rishe Caldwell. So pretty good deal, I think, for probably better for the Chargers in that deal. Having Tomlinson and Dwight really helped them out. Michael Vick looked really good at first for the Atlanta Falcons. So it was pretty even at first, but in the long run, I think the Chargers got the better part of that. 1997, you had the New York Jets trading the pick to the St. Louis Rams, who took offensive tackle Orlando Pace. I think a pretty stellar rate pick there, getting Orlando Pace, who was the anchor to that line and ends up being a Hall of Famer on that. For the Jets, they might not have done quite as well because they got the number six pick, but they traded that away to Seattle. Seattle gets Walter Jones, who's a Hall of Famer. And they also got a third round pick, did the Jets, and they traded that away too. And Dan Neal was taken with that pick. And the fourth round pick of defensive end, Terry Day, 1997, seventh round pick, and which they took Coy Detmer with that. So not very good for the Jets, but worked out pretty good for Seattle, especially getting that pick that year. Couple years before that, it was the Carolina Panthers and the Cincinnati Bengals. And you can remember a young, flashy running back from Penn State, Kajana Carter, was taken by the Bengals for that pick. Didn't really do so well in the NFL, though. Kind of a bust there. Didn't really live up to the expectations. Didn't translate well to the Bengals offense and the NFL offenses. But the Panthers used it to take another Penn State player, Kerry Collins, who quarterbacked them for a little while, had a decent NFL career bouncing around to some different teams. And their second round pick was defensive end Sean King. Another great pickup. So I think the Panthers ended up elevating themselves with draft stock there over the Kajana Carter. 1991, it was the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys trading some picks. And the Patriots ended up getting the first round pick and took Pat Harlow, second round pick of Jerome Henderson, and three players, cornerback Ron Francis, a linebacker David Howard, and Eugene Lockhart Jr., the linebacker, all for the price of the number one pick, which the Cowboys took Russell Maryland, defensive tackle, who ended up playing in a Pro Bowl, but won three Super Bowl rings in his career Cowboys definitely made a great deal there, getting Russell Maryland, who really brought a lot to their defensive line, probably more so than all the other gentlemen did for the Patriots. 1990, the Atlanta Falcons and Indianapolis Colts, they traded some picks. And the number one pick by Indianapolis that year was Jeff George, very serviceable journeyman quarterback in the NFL, had a nice long career. Never really hit his potential, though. But the Falcons, they ended up getting the offensive tackle Chris Hinton and a wide receiver named Andre Bad Moon Rising, as one famous commentator called him. They also got a fifth-round pick, Reggie Redding, at the tight end. And 1991's first-round pick, which was wide receiver Mike Pritchard. So not a bad haul for the Falcons. The Colts thought they had got a good one in Jeff George, and he was a good one, just had some injury problems and couldn't get anything going there in the NFL. 1984, we're going way back. Irving Fryer was picked as the number one pick by the New England Patriots, who traded to the Cincinnati Bengals, who traded it from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a complicated one. So the Bengals ended up getting the Buccaneers' number one pick and received Jack Thompson, the quarterback. Never really panned out for them. Patriots received the number one pick and got Fryer. The Tampa Bay ended up getting Brent Ziegler and Brian Blados as their picks. So I think all in all, the New England Patriots really made out like bandits with Irving Fryer. 1978, Tampa Bay to the Houston Oilers. Earl Campbell was the prize that year. Went to the Oilers, had a great career, Hall of Famer, very devastating and dominating running back. You really had to put a lot of guys on him to take him down. But Tampa Bay didn't do too bad in this deal. They got Jimmy Giles, the tight end. They also got quarterback Doug Williams. Yeah, the guy ended up winning a Super Bowl MVP with Washington a few years later. They also got Brett Moritz, a guard, and Reggie Lewis, a defensive end that year. So, and Chuck Fusina as a fifth-round pick in 1979. So not too bad of a haul, but Earl Campbell definitely the prize of that draft. 1975, the Baltimore Colts sent the number one pick to the Atlanta Falcons. Boy, the Falcons are really involved in that number one pick a lot, aren't they? Steve Barkowski went to the Atlanta Falcons. He ended up having two Pro Bowl seasons on a nice 11-year NFL career, but never really shaped up to where folks really thought he would be. The Colts, well, they took guard Ken Huff and offensive lineman George Kuntz with that. So this Barkowski was a little bit better than the two guys that the Colts ended up getting for their careers. Houston Oilers and Dallas Cowboys swapped picks in 1974. And the Oilers got defensive end Tody Smith and Billy Parks, the wide receiver, all for the price of the number one pick. Dallas takes Ed Jones. So twice in history, Dallas has traded, got some great defensive line help. Ed Too Tall Jones here in 74, and they get Russell Maryland a decade or two later with that amazing pick that he did there. So Dallas really knew when to take some chances. 1968, this is a crazy one. New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. Ron Yeary was the Hall of Fame player who was traded for and picked up by the Minnesota Vikings. Seven Pro Bowls, six All-Pro seasons. The Giants, well, they got quarterback Fran Tarkenton, who had five solid seasons in New York, but he eventually, in 1972, went back to the Vikings, took him to a few Super Bowls, and played 7 years on his second stint with the Vikings. So things really came around in that one. The Vikings not only got Yeary and eventually getting Tarkenton back, but they had running back Clint Jones, who was a number two pick, and they ended up having number 28 wide receiver Bob Grimm, who also had a decent season. Finally, 1967, New Orleans and the Baltimore Colts. I think this was New Orleans' first year. The player picked up number one was defensive tackle Bubba Smith, who had two Pro Bowl seasons, one All-Pro season, and helped the Colts win a Super Bowl. The Saints, well, there was a reason they were called the Aints there in the first few years. They got quarterback Gary Kuzo, who really didn't make his mark too deep in the NFL. So just some very interesting things that happened on in the number one pick. So the big question is, should that pick be traded this year? Take the chance, or do you take the guy who you think is the top player? It's all a crapshoot. It's all a gamble. It's how these players come out, how fate gives them with injury and teammates and all kinds of other variables and circumstances. But who knows? They could be getting a gold mine in there. You never know. That's the history of the draft and trading away the number one draft pick. And we'll see if more history is made. We really appreciate you joining us here. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And on your favorite podcast, you can subscribe to our podcast too so you won't miss a thing. And always check us out, pigskindispatch.com, and check out our newsletter that we send out, and we'll get you signed up for that as well. Till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.